welcome to the Hobby Tassel podcast. I'm Gemma.
And I'm Candice. This is the podcast for creatives run by two fellow business owners who discuss the ups and downs of creative entrepreneurship.
From dealing with imposter syndrome to celebrating new business milestones, we're here to talk about all of them with you. Hi, welcome back to the Hobby Tassel. It's Gemma here and I'm with Candice. Yeah, she's here. She's really here. And we're doing this somewhat on time. So today we are going to be talking about personality and what we personally think makes a trait of a successful business owner, specifically a successful art business owner, because I do think, yes, there's overlap, but art business owners might vary slightly from your stereotypical entrepreneur. So I'm just going to jump in to the first personality trait I thought of when I thought of successful art business owners, and that is resilient. So it's not easy to run a business. It's not. It isn't. Candice is laughing because otherwise she would cry. And that's the point. You really need to be resilient when running your own business. Otherwise, you're just going to give up. When things are difficult, you're just going to want to swear and cry and give up. So it's easier said than done. I think it's okay to feel disheartened. It's okay to go through periods of demotivation or lack of focus. But the important thing is that you stick with it. Because no business owner is going to have a positive experience all the time. But successful business owners stick through it and push through the tricky bits.
Right, just for context, maybe just this year alone, we're May 22nd, this is the day of recording. So from January till now, did you have doubts in your mind already about your business? Just this year alone, so far. How many episodes of those did
you have? I think it was Monday, so 2 days ago. I stayed up till 2 a.m., thinking about my business and thinking, what am I doing? Will this ever work? Sometimes I stay up late hoping that the answer will strike me, that suddenly I'll know exactly what I need to do. But instead I just sit there tired and in my pajamas, like, what am I doing with my life? But it's not just me. I know, speaking to other business owners, that it's really quiet. And just today, I run memberships and one of my members posted in my group saying they're feeling really demotivated right now. And is anyone else feeling the same way? And there was comment after comment after comment saying, yes, I feel this way. Yes, I feel this way. Yes, I'm struggling too. And I commented too, because I am transparent with my members that, you know, there's going to be peaks and troughs and I've been feeling kicked by life. Just running a business is really hard. And I'm currently looking at getting another part-time job again, which is a bit depressing when I left my other part-time job 6 months ago thinking, oh yes, I could finally do it now. And then it's been the worst season ever in terms of sales. So yeah, it's okay to feel stressed, but I'm not giving up. as tempting as it can feel sometimes, I think you really need to push through. And worldwide, things have been really crap for years. The economy has been rubbish. So if we can survive this crappy few years, then fingers crossed, the next few years are better. I don't want to jinx ourselves, because every time something bad happens in the world, something else seems to happen the year after. But yeah, resilience is important. And I'm sure you've felt moments where...
Oh, 100%.
You want to give up as well.
Yeah, I think it was like the other night where I was just like, what am I doing with my life? And the shitty part is when you get to that point where you're just thinking, I have thrown so much money into this business, I can't give up. But at the same time, I can't keep throwing money into it, or I can't keep investing in it, because then you're so demotivated that you don't think that there are any results. And so I'm sitting here like, well, shit, what the fuck do I do? Because I don't want to keep doing this. So though Gemma and I are always like talking about our business, like Hobby to Hustle is our thing. We're on season two. We're almost ending season two. Well, like we're halfway through season two, I think.
We're nearing the end.
We're nearing the end or something like that. Yeah. And it's just like, we may sound like we're constantly motivated or like we're constantly thinking about our business. Well, it's not that we're not thinking about it, but we're just always here. But behind the scenes, we're not. Like behind the scenes, we're still crumbling apart.
See, I somewhat disagree that we seem motivated. I worry that we come across as quite negative at times because we're always saying how hard sometimes things are.
Yeah.
But we want to be transparent. We don't want to sugarcoat things because it's not helpful for anyone. And I've listened to some podcasts from other artists. I've loved the podcast, but they're like, oh, I quit my job and I made £5,000 in the first week. And I'm like, oh, okay. That was not my experience at all. So resilience is important. Should we move on?
Yes. So the next point is collaborative. And this is something that obviously relates to me and Gemma, because Gemma is from a whole another country. Like we're how many hours apart are we?
8.
We're 8 hours apart from each other and we're still making it work because this is just something that we both have put value in. And it's not just like the value of the podcast, but the value in our friendship and just the work that we are putting in towards each other. And so I think that that's really important for you to at least not think that you need to do everything on your own and that you will only succeed if you're on your own. Because I used to think that way. I used to go like, oh, not in a micromanaging way, but also kind of in a micromanaging way. It's more like I'm worried that the other person will not see eye to eye with me. But that boils down to like making sure that you're collaborating with someone who, I guess, aligns with you.
Even if you have slightly different personalities, you've got to complement each other's personalities.
Yeah. Like Gemma and I are very different. She can be very optimistic. She's more optimistic than she is pessimistic. I'm more pessimistic than I am optimistic.
Which is funny because I don't view myself as an optimist at all. So maybe you're just really negative, Candace. I don't know.
Oh, maybe.
It's not just about working with other people in a close way like me and Candace do. It's also thinking about your wider network. So they always say it's not what you know, it's who you know. And I do think that applies across all industries, including art. So some of the biggest names in my field in calligraphy, I've always seen them working with other calligraphers and other artists. And there's this big network of other artists. So that's collaboration. They work on projects together and they, you know, do affiliate sales to each other. And they just, yeah, they're like, they're powerhouses in their own right, but together they're even bigger. And I think that's really important. And that's something that I want to work on even more in my business is actually collaborating with other people.
Yeah, I think I see that around me as well. Like there are a lot of artists around me that in this group, and like it's really funny because I just told one of them that like, oh my god, I'm recording, I'm editing, and she's like, oh, what are you editing? I'm like, podcast. She's like, you have a podcast? Is this new? I'm like, no, I just never talk about it. We're on season two. And that group is really close with each other in a way where they love to support each other's work. They love to support each other's ideas. And they're so welcoming that they always try to invite me. It's always me that's like not as collaborative because it's just my social anxiety. Like I know I need to get over it. It was really funny this one point where, shout out to Kristen from Zero Bay. she was trying to introduce me to her friends. And these people are pretty popular in, like, the art community here. And I was like, no, 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 it's okay. And she's like, no, they're really nice. I'm like, no, it's okay. I'm good.
See, this is our different personality types, because I would have been like, yes, network me up, please.
Yeah, I need to work on being more collaborative. The only person that I can really think of that I can collaborate really well with the exception of you, would probably be my merch rep. And that's because she gets shit done for me. Like my pins, washi tapes, plushies, she gets all that done with me. She's the only other person that I can collaborate really well with. But that's because she's helping me manufacture them. But in terms of just collaborating my art and just interacting with people more on social media, I'll share your shit. Like, maybe I should just start doing that. I'll just start sharing everyone's shit, and then that'll be my effort of collaborating with other people. Mm. Does that count? Sorry. How about this? How about I ask you this? For someone like me,
yeah,
how would you suggest that we get... I'm saying we, because I'm sure there's many more introverts out there like me. How would you suggest other artists to be more collaborative if they're very, like,
shy.
Shut in? Shy. Yes.
That's a good question. So, maybe... You're going to think it's kind of an old school method, but I love writing blog posts. I love writing. So writing could be a good way for you to collaborate with each other. You do guest blog posts on each other's websites. Mm. Maybe, you know, if you offer slightly different things, or even if you're in the same industry, you can, I'm sure there's something you could work on. Something else you could do is, say one of you has a course, you know, the other one could feature in that course and vice versa. You could do, I was going to say Facebook Lives together, but if you're shy, then that kind of thing might not be suitable. But basically, yeah, types of business tasks that you can do on your own, but that you can share with the other person.
Okay. Yeah, that actually makes more sense. I was just going to say that it kind of sounds like you're just doing something on your own and then putting it in a media where it's put together. Kind of like a school book. You're taking the photos on your own, but then it's all put into one thing anyways. Yeah. Okay. Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe you'll do that. But this is why it's important to build up relationships whilst you can, and then you feel more comfortable collaborating. Because also, you need to know whether that person is someone you want representing you as well.
Yes.
Because if they're kind of an idiot, then, yeah, idiot sounds like a harsh word. I don't think I've actually come across any idiots really in the field, but I mean, if someone just doesn't align with your personality,
yeah,
and perhaps you actually the wrong way, then you wouldn't want to work together, and you wouldn't know that until you interact with them a bit more.
Right. Yeah. So the next one, I'm not 100% sure on. Gemma is the one who wrote this down, called specialist personality trait.
Yeah.
Do you care to elaborate on that?
So when I refer to specialist, I mean people that have niched down and they're really good at one thing. So for example, I teach calligraphy, which, you know, is a niche, but I would call a specialist someone who, you know, might specialize in calligraphy workbooks and creating calligraphy workbooks and uploading them to Etsy, and that's their specialty. And basically, by specialists, I mean that they're really honed in, they know what they're doing to a point where things are almost routine, and they're comfortable with being a specialist in their one area. They don't feel the need to try a bunch of things. Now, I'm not saying that the people who want to try a bunch of things won't be successful. I just wanted to point out that you don't need to be someone that does everything to be successful. So I think it's okay to be honed down in one thing and just really specialize in that.
Okay. Yeah, because I think I don't specialize in anything.
So another example is YouTubers. So some people may focus just on YouTube.
Right.
And creating content for YouTube. So it doesn't have to be, yeah. I said nothing. Do you see what I'm getting at though?
Yeah, yeah. You're only doing one thing and you're not expanding to the point. Well, you're not at the point where you need to expand to absolutely everything. I think that is actually pretty important because for some people, they prefer to go to markets and they prefer to go to cons, and others to prefer to just do everything online. I think it wasn't until end of last year where I realized I am one of those people that like to prefer to do everything online. Mainly because in markets and cons, you have to actually interact with people. And I found myself hiding behind my friends when they are vendors. And I'm also a vendor, which is not a good thing. So that's why I'm like, ooh, maybe markets and cons is not for me.
I actually have a niche idea for you that I'll talk to you about after the episode.
I'm stressed.
No. I generally think it's something you can do that lines up with your skills. So we'll talk about that after the episode.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So by specialist, I know that sounds like an intense word, but I think I just mean focused. Someone who's focused in what they're doing. So another example I have is people who specialize in blog writing. So they know how to play the game of, you know, ranking on Google and where to share their blog posts and how to make affiliate money through blog posts. Like, that is their specialty and they're really focused on that activity.
Interesting. Okay, that's cool. I can see how that's like more focused. And so the next one that we want to talk about are problem solvers. And I'm sure a lot of you kind of saw this coming from a mile away. Being a problem solver is super important because it's not just about running a business as well. I think everyone should try to be a problem solver, because if you're not, I feel like there are going to be a lot of times in your life where you're just going to sit there and have that mentality of like, you know what, it is what it is. But that's not always okay. The ability to see that there's an issue.
So yeah, not just see that there's an issue, but if there's something you don't understand, working out how to understand. That is always going to be something in business that makes you think, oh, I don't know how to do that. And the very first thing is typically registering your business. You know, typically it's on a government website. It looks really complicated. You start to feel a sense of overwhelm. You wonder if you can even do this. And are you breaking the law by accidentally writing something wrong in the box? And you start to overthink. But you just need to take things step by step. So in one of my memberships, I have kind of a document for people who are starting their businesses to say, where can you get support to answer the question of how to start a business? And basically trying to get them to think about how to solve this problem. Because I think it feels like a bigger issue than it is. And this is going to sound harshly phrased, but I'm going to say it. I think people need to use their common sense and rely on it a bit more. You know, it's okay to feel overwhelmed, but there's something amazing which you can do to help you work through that problem. And that is Google. And I know I sound a patronizer, but I'm sorry, some tough love for you there. Google it. The amount of times I've Googled something where I haven't understood it, and that has really helped me to work through the problem. So, for example, in the last episode, the SEO episode, that was the one before. In our SEO episode that we did recently, I talked about how when I first looked into SEO, it made me cry because it felt like absolute gibberish. I had no idea what it was on about. And I just thought, I'm never going to understand this, which is a great mindset. But once I'd closed my laptop and had a bit of a cry and came back to it the next day, I can't remember exactly what I Googled, but I found a resource to learn more about SEO. And it was free on Google. It was, you know, a really helpful course to help me learn more about SEO. Basically, to sum up on, you know, being problem solvers, it's okay if you don't understand something. You just need to practice that problem solving muscle of Googling things, of asking for friends' help, of journaling. Sometimes just journaling things down helps me solve problems. So what will I do if this happens? Or, you know, I might write down, this could go wrong, this wrong, this could go wrong, this could... Ugh, I can't say that. It's me saying it too many times. But basically, I write down what I think could go wrong, and then I come up with a solution. And it just helps so much just writing pen to paper what I think the problem is and then going in and solving it.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times people don't realize that when you have a problem, a lot of times someone already has that problem and has probably mentioned it online. This could be with technology, this could be with business things, it could be with honestly anything. Google at this point is kind of your best friend. And there are also other forums that you can participate in.
Facebook groups.
If you're someone who's selling on Etsy, there's so many Etsy forums. And a lot of times they like to refresh it as well. So old threads would actually be flagged. And then you just need to mention it again because then policies could have changed. And then, you know, ask the same question. If you're thinking about that question, more often than not, someone already is already asking that question. So you just need to know where to look. And you also have to have that, again, mindset of you can't just say it is what it is. That's why problem solving is so important for an art or anyone to really have as an entrepreneur. And it's not just for business owners, by the way. This could be for if you're at the stage in your business where you're hiring someone, this is probably something you would want your employee to have. Like they're a good problem solver.
So let's move on to the next personality trait in our list, and that is self-disciplined.
Yeah.
which is ironic. But you have to be motivated to do some work or nothing's going to get done. Your business is likely completely on you. So if you're not self-disciplined, your business is not going to progress.
100%. Because it's not just like you getting to work from home. Everyone's like, oh my God, yeah, you get to work from home. It's so great. Yeah. Those people work in offices or they're not business owners, and that's fine. But if you're telling other people like, yeah, I get to work from home, it's so good, but then you're at home and you're not actually working, but you're telling yourself you are because you're just sitting in your office, I'm sorry to say it, but you're not self-disciplined. I am guilty of that as well sometimes. Like I'm actually just sitting in my office and I'm either just staring at my monitor, hating like what I'm doing at the moment if I'm not, you know, motivated or I'm demoralized by something else, and or I'm actually just watching some anime. That is me not being self-disciplined.
Anime is the worst option as well if you're watching it with 100%. Subtitles. I was gonna say my worst habit is sticking like Netflix on or something along those lines because I think it will just be background noise. No, it's likely that my head starts to turn towards it. And then I'm like, oh, I've just watched 10 minutes of that episode and I'm meant to be working on this.
Mm-hmm.
Something I would recommend is lo-fi. So lo-fi is, it's music. It's very chill. So it feels like there's something going on, but it's not distracting. Even with music that I love, that can be distracting. So lo-fi is a very neutral kind of thing to have on in the background.
And let's say you are an extroverted person, right? Because right now Gemma and I are in the mindset of an introverted person and you don't really care for working in an office. Let's say you're an extroverted person. You used to work in a high functioning office where you interact with each other a lot and you just need that level of a social interaction.
I was going to say attention.
Oh, okay. You could either go out and work and And if it's not, if that's not feasible and or financially sensible, because, you know, when you go out, you kind of want to buy a cup of coffee so you don't just sit in the cafe. You know, gas is expensive. At least it is here. And so if you don't want to do that, what you can do is pop up some cafe music, cafe sounds. There's a lot of those on YouTube.
That's kind of what I meant by lo-fi as well, is just that background noise. I really like ones with rain or... I keep interrupting you, but ones with like crackling fire, which I love having on in the autumn and winter.
I'm talking more about like for people who don't want to feel alone. Cafe sounds is not music. It's more like you can hear people talking, but it's not it's distorted. It's mildly distorted in a way where you cannot actually pick up on what's being said. So you just hear people. If you don't want to do that and you want to have more of like a conversational sound then, and you know, want to be able to sometimes, you know, take a break and switch off mentally, sorry, my throat again, then you can, I highly recommend only pulling up animes or dramas that you have watched a billion times. Then you don't feel like you're missing out. Because when I'm working, I only watch animes or I only pull up animes that I can basically recite the script, so I don't feel like I'm missing out. And it's also a good way for me to calculate how much time has passed by. I would be like, oh shit, that scene already passed and I've only done this much. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of like if you're extroverted or you used to work in a high traffic office, because that's what I used to be like. And so sometimes working in complete silence makes me forget about the time even more. So yeah. So the next one is extremely personal to me. It's act of ownership. Now, this might sound, this part, I'm going to try to only breeze through it just in case I sound a little harsh. This is where some people are going to strongly disagree with me. It's regarding Etsy and their returns. Now, a lot of sticker businesses, they only ship via letter mail, which means it's not tracked. I'm just going to say this. I'm only going to say this once. Either you explicitly state that if your letter mail is lost, it is not going to be replaced. You need to state that three times in either your FAQs, the listings itself, as well as the, you know, the thank you message that you send out to people. Because if you don't state that and you state that nowhere and someone comes to you and go like, hey, listen, I never got my order. It's like, what's going to happen? And you go like, I'm sorry, but I don't give returns or refunds or I don't resend out items once they're shipped out via letter mail. That is you not taking ownership. In my opinion, this is where I know you're going to disagree with me. You never stated what happens if the mail is lost, because I actually see that a lot in other shops because I always wonder what the other people are doing. And nowhere did you ever state that you won't do refunds of any sort and you will not problem solve. If you just go like, tough shit, sorry, bye, which I have seen before, that is you not really taking ownership of your own product and your process, and you're just leaving that person, and then you get a bad review and you go like, well, this person's a Karen or whatever. Then it's like,
oh, I thought you were coming from, wait, hold on. So do you mean if it gets lost in the post, tough shit, or if it gets lost in the post, you would send something else out?
So for me, I don't state what happens when letter mail is lost, but I do state in the messages that I send out to them that if it's lost, please message me a week after the delivery expected date. I always say there is something that I'm going to discuss with you about. And it has happened a couple of times. And my thing that I've said to them before, mostly because like, I'm so sorry. But like, unless if it's a high value order, even then, if it's a high value order, I put tracking on it on my own because like, I can't, like, Jonah, if I'm sending something, for me, $20 and above is high value. If it's a $3 item and they tell me it's lost, then I'll say, do you want a refund or do you want me to send a replacement? Because I can guarantee you if I tell that person tough shit, they're going to leave a bad review and there's nothing I can do about it.
Okay, so I agree with you. At first, I thought you were coming from the other perspective of saying...
tough shit?
That, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, like, I've seen it. And I'm like, what are you doing? Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I'm sorry. Okay. But how would you feel if you order from someone and you knew or you didn't know that they would respond like that. And then all of a sudden the owner goes like, tough shit. Like,
I would think it was a scam. In my opinion, it is the company's responsibility to sort that out.
Right.
And now, dare I say that it's the company's responsibility of protecting themselves from malicious customers.
Yes.
So like you said, with valuable items, you put tracking on it so a customer can't claim that it hasn't been delivered. Now, if an item says it's been delivered and it says it was delivered with a neighbor, that is not on the business to sort out.
Exactly.
It is on the customer. Yeah.
Yes. But at the same time, you have to understand that there was a survey done. And I asked Will this before too. I'm sorry. We were saying we're going to like breeze through active ownership, but this is actually so important for you to alleviate stress for yourself. This is not where you just, I'm not saying that you have to be a doormat. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that you need to pick and choose your battles.
Yeah.
And when it comes to your reputation, you should probably put that on a high priority list. And so there was a test done, a survey done. If a company does not deliver an item, who do you go to? The company or the shipping company? 80% of the customers said that they'll go straight to the company. Even though they know that the shipping company is not the business, they'll still go to the business.
It's interesting because if I was provided tracking, yeah, I guess I would check the tracking. It depends on context, I think.
I check the tracking too.
Yeah.
If it doesn't deliver, then I think it's because I'm a business owner. I would go to the shipping company first. And if they can't resolve it, I then go to the business. But apparently, a lot of times people skip that process. And I've experienced that too. Because I had tracking before and they would message me going like, where's my order? And then I would look at the tracking and I would be like, it's still on the way. But obviously, I word that nicely. And so that's where you, this is where also damaged. If something is damaged, you need to take responsibility. And if they go like, oh, I'm sorry, but like you need to package your shit properly then. If you are experiencing a lot of damaged stuff, you need to package your shit properly.
Candace, I have a story on this. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt again. But I'm part of some wedding Facebook groups because I'm getting married. And there's someone that ordered a custom cake topper, which had their name and the date of their wedding. Okay?
Right.
Seems straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
The piece takes ages to arrive and it has the wrong year on it.
Oh no.
So the customer points this out and the business says, I'm really sorry, I will get a replacement out to you. This bride gets the second item and once again it has the wrong year on it. It's a completely different year. Okay. So she goes back to them and she complains again. And the third package comes and the item is broken.
What are you doing?
She's posting this to the group and...
No.
It became like a bit of a meme. Like, oh, what's it going to arrive? And at that point, I thought, no, I would just ask for a refund because it's just not...
Yeah.
It's not work... To be fair, on the second one, I would have said, can you just give me my money back? I would not have trusted that business owner. Anyway, on the fourth time... It finally arrives and it's okay. But yeah, the business did the right thing in trying to resolve the issue. But again, I guess that next level of customer service would be, okay, I made a mistake on the first one. That second one has to be right.
Yeah, their due diligence.
Really make sure that a quality check is done on that. So yeah, that was just a story I wanted to share because I thought it was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. But yeah, it's just like taking ownership is not, again, not something that you just do as a business. It is with relationships. It is with your job, everyday job. It is with taking care of your pets. You can't always, there are times where like something is obviously not your fault and completely out of your control. I understand that. So for example, when Canada Post loses my stuff, it's like, okay, well, that's out of my control. I still need to do something about it because Canada Post has a reputation of being shit already. Sorry, Canada Post. And no one's going to put the blame on them. I know that the blame's always going to be put on me. So it is up to me to take action and ownership over you know, the problem.
Your business is your baby. So look
exactly.
After it.
Yeah, exactly. Just look after it.
Oh, I did have someone get annoyed with me recently.
Oh, shit.
So I ran a free challenge in my Facebook group. Mm-hmm. I was running a Facebook Live, and this person sent me quite an irritated message saying that they couldn't get in and it was a waste of time. And I felt self-conscious then. I thought, oh, have I made a mistake? Like, was it not very clear? You know, is it wrong to assume that people would know that to join a Facebook Live in a group, you have to request a group? Did I make it clear that you have to join the group in advance? Which I did. And yeah, so I guess that was the first time I've had someone get a bit aggravated with me. But act of ownership, I responded politely. I apologized if it wasn't clear and then gave them a solution.
Yeah, both Gemma and I were not saying that act of ownership is you just apologizing and groveling for their approval. We're saying, say yes, that you acknowledge that, you know, they went ahead to message you first before leaving a really shit review, and then you trying to, you know, resolve it in public, in the public eye, I meant. So they're messaging you, acknowledge them, try to find a resolution, and then go from there. This is obviously not accounting for the people who actually are, you know, very much very complicated customers to work with. We're not talking about those ones. Those are just special cases. But we're just saying, just acknowledge the person. I always appreciate customers that message me first before they leave a review. I think every single person that has left me a review after I resolved their issue is that they've always said my customer service was A+. And they said, there was a problem with shipping, but Candace resolved it. Highly recommend. That is so much better than them saying, order never arrived. Candace said tough shit.
Yeah.
1 out of 5. Like, right. Like it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's on there permanently. You cannot rebuttal it. I've tried. Well, I mean, I've had people tell me they've tried. All right, that's enough about active ownership. We're going to move on to, I like how I got so heated. Anyways, the next one that we're talking about is motivation/driven, or ambitiousness, I'm assuming, is another word that you can use. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have zero ambition.
You have zero?
Ambition sometimes. Like, I think I have less ambition than you do. So I would give this to you to explain.
I don't think it's that you're not ambitious. I just think sometimes I'm a bit full on with my ambition. I think I can do everything. Then I realise I can't. Interestingly, I was in the car with Callum and I said, don't take this in a weird way, but what do you think we have in common? Because I was worried that that would come across as like a bit of an intense question when we'd been together for 8 years. And he said, our ambition. And I found that really interesting, that the first thing he thought of is that we're both ambitious. Yeah, so I am quite driven. I guess this kind of ties in. Why are you laughing?
No, because I've asked Will this before. And his answer was, both of us are couch potatoes.
But that's good. You have something in common.
But it's completely opposite of me.
I disagree. You could be couch potatoes and do work on your sofa. I would also call myself a couch potato.
No, couch potatoing is when you do nothing.
Yeah, I would say couch potato is kind of being lazy.
Yes.
That's how I interpret it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't think if you're working on the couch, that's not really couch potatoing.
Yeah. When I say lazy, I mean like physically lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're just lounging around. But yeah, I can see how you and Callum are ambitious and me and Will are couch potatoes.
But that doesn't mean that you don't have ambition. There's definitely stuff you want to do. In fact, you tell me all the stuff like, Gemma, I'm going to do this. It's just the follow through that lacks.
Well, tell me about your follow through.
Well, Candace, I don't know if you've seen, I've made a 20-page plan of exactly how I'm going to follow through. Now, it doesn't mean I'm going to follow through, but I have a plan of how I'm going to do it.
I'm sorry. We're laughing so much because we both have such, you more often than I do, have bursts of extremely high ambition.
Yeah.
And drive and motivation to do something. And then we give it our damn best effort only for us to become demoralized. Yes. Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's important to have those moments.
Something I wanted to point out as well is, in this episode, we're talking about traits we think make a successful business owner. I don't think you need all of these traits, but they help. And some people will have different skill sets that help them in different ways. So you have, like, you're really creative and you're, like, your art skill set is really strong, whereas mine is not. So I think, you know, we all have different personality traits that can help us succeed. We're just talking about things that we personally think give people a leg up if you have the personality trait.
So I'm not saying, both Gemma and I are not saying that we have both of these traits. This list is just some of the traits that she has considered that she has some of these. I have considered that I have some of these, and then put it together. We have a semi-long list. And yeah.
Yeah, so don't be hard on yourself if you think Gemma and Candace just yelled at me because I'm rubbish at customer service and I don't know how to use Google.
Yeah, technically we only yelled at you at the act of ownership.
Yeah.
I yelled at you, I'm sorry.
So yeah, don't be hard on yourself if you don't meet every tick box, because yeah, you don't need everything. So let's move on to our final trait. And I'm a bit confused by this one, because Candace said you need to be self-conscious, which to me is a negative trait. So I'm interested to see how you explain that one, Candace.
So for me, self-consciousness can... Oh my God, I said the word. Guys, you have no idea. Just pre-recording, I could not say the word. the two words put together. Anyways,
You're overthinking it now. So... Let's call it SC.
Yeah, so SC is basically, it can be very negative and it can be very positive at the same time. You need to have a good balance of both. If you're overly self-conscious, then you will become anxiety-induced, stressed, not having a good time, disheartened, all those negative things. But if you have just a good balance of it, then you will be able to work your way around problems. You'll be able to answer your own questions sometimes. And a lot of times you can make better business decisions. So example of this would be, a negative example would be, like, let's say my fear of having a bad reputation. That's me being self-conscious about my reputation, and therefore I become a doormat for customers. But then the other half of me that's self-conscious about going, like, right, no, in a business sense, I should try to, you know, up my customer service game and resolve this issue before it becomes a bigger problem. I need to try to mitigate the fact that, mitigate a negative review, right? So that's the good self-consciousness. Another good self-consciousness is, for me personally, it's sustainability. So this is where if I'm going to make a product of mine, I don't want to be contributing to, using more plastic or stuff like that. Like, and I know this comes down, like, boils down to, like, environment. And I'm not saying that people who use plastics and or are creating more, you know, products using different is bad. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that there are, like, tiny things that you can do to help adjust to make sure you don't, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You don't do too much. You're not adding to the, yeah, you're not adding to the negative environmental factors. For example, if you're packaging some stuff and let's say you have glass, right? Maybe rather than using packing peanuts and styrofoam, you can use recycled paper and just scrunch it up, like those, like, paper shreds. That will do fine. Just make sure you pack it up well, right? Put it inside and outside.
I do also think you need to be politically aware as well. I think
whether you speak out in terms of politics on your business account is a whole other conversation.
Right.
But you just have to be conscious not to stick your foot in it.
Yes.
So an interesting thing I've seen recently was, I don't know if you've heard of the brand Stationery Pal.
No.
Have you heard of Notebook Therapy?
No.
No. So Notebook Therapy isn't related to this, but they're a similar company. So Stationery Pal is a stationery supplier. And they posted a video, like an Instagram reel, on their account where they drew a line to say how men get to the point when talking, and they just drew a straight line. And then they said how women get to the point, and then they drew loads and loads of like scribbly lines. But as the scribbly lines were happening, there were loads of like monkey noises. And I watched the video and I just couldn't believe that they put that out. Like, where, they clearly have no PR team, or I don't know if PR is the right term, but so it was such a stupid video to put out, and they've lost customers. I haven't bought from them, but I definitely won't be. But yeah, just use common sense. Don't be offensive. Try not to be offensive.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that you're not someone, not you specifically, Candace, but our listeners aren't intending to harm people with their words and actions, but just be, you know, cautious of that.
Yes.
So yeah, I think that kind of wraps things up, unless there was anything else you wanted to add, Candace.
No, I think that's about it.
Yeah, so this wraps up our discussion in terms of personality traits. I'm sure there's something on here you can relate with, even if, you know, 100% of what we talked about doesn't seem like you. You're going to have some sort of strength that will help you shine as a business owner. So yeah, I guess we'll catch you in the next one.
Thank you, everyone. Bye. Hi guys, Candace and Gemma here. We really appreciate you listening and being here. We hope you guys enjoyed that episode. Please leave us a review if you haven't done so yet.
Oh, and don't forget to check the description, because you'll find links to our social media there, and you may find some other links that you'll find helpful.
We'll see you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.